I want to speak to you tonight on a message that I have entitled Satan's Compromises. Satan's Compromises. If you turn to the book of Exodus, and we have read in our Bible reading some verses from chapter 8, you will see there that there is a record of things that happened during the captivity, the bondage of the Lord's people in Egypt. They were there under hard and cruel taskmasters. Pharaoh began, however, to feel the pressure of God's intervention on behalf of his people. We all know, I'm sure, about the 10 plagues in Egypt. The Lord began to work in the situation because it was not God's will that his people should remain in the land of Egypt. And at the time when God called Moses to be their leader, the nation was in that hard bondage under that cruel despot Pharaoh, but it was the Lord's purpose to deliver them. He had promised to do that in Genesis chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14, where God gave the promise to Abram. Now Moses was sent with a message from God to Pharaoh. You find it in Exodus chapter 3 verse 18. The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. The middle of the verse says, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But as God had said he would, the king of Egypt repeatedly refused to comply with that command, and so God began to scourge Egypt with a series of plagues. Pharaoh came under great pressure to relent, but he was still loath to let the people of God go completely free. And we find, therefore, that on 4 occasions he tried to do a deal with Israel. 4 times he attempted to work out a compromise arrangement with them that they might not be able to get fully loose from the power of Egypt. Now, if we set that aside for a moment, the narrative has its spiritual parallel in every generation. If we think of the fact that it wasn't the will of God that his people Israel should remain in Egypt, so it is not the will of God that his people live in bondage to the spiritual Egypt. Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. It is rather the will of God that his people live separated lives. But the devil doesn't want Christians to live separated lives. He doesn't want them to serve God fully and 100%. He wants them to remain tied in some way to the spiritual Egypt, the world. And so he tries to get believers to compromise in certain areas and, as it were, to do a deal with him. Now, if we look at the 4 propositions that Pharaoh made to the Israelites, they are typical of the compromises that Satan offers even now to the people of God. And I would like us to examine this together today. These 4 propositions, and make spiritual application of them. The devil wants to make us all compromisers. First of all, he wants us to compromise in our position. Exodus chapter 8 verse 25 tells us about the first proposition that Pharaoh made. He said to Moses and Aaron, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. That's to say, in Egypt. Pharaoh wanted them to stay within Egypt itself and worship. After all, as he was putting it, there was no need to leave. There was no need to separate. There was no need for them to go outside the land. They could stay in the land and still worship. And the devil says the same thing to God's people. You know, there's no need for separation. You don't have to come apart from the world to be a Christian. You can have your sinful lifestyle and Christ at the same time. You don't have to be a separatist. You can serve God in the land. And of course he'll try to get you to compromise with worldly associates. I don't believe it's wrong per se to have friends who are unsaved. We need to witness to people. We need to be able to get the gospel to people. But having worldly friends and companions and doing what they do is a whole different thing altogether. You know, a lot of times the unsaved want us to join them in their ungodliness. They don't want us to separate from them. They want us to join in. And we think of that scripture over in Peter, where it says that there are people, 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, who think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They think it's a strange thing that you're not joining in with their ungodliness. You see, this is what the devil tells a lot of Christians. You don't need to separate. You can just do what everybody else does. But that's not what God says. In fact, God says, and I'm thinking about the words of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." And what does that mean? It means that bad company can have bad effects upon you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In Psalm 1, "The blessed man is one who is seen to not be standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful." And just as the Hebrews there in Egypt were a distinct and separate people from the Egyptians, so Christians are in this world, but they're not of the world. And that's a very important distinction for us to recognize. The Lord Jesus talked about that in two places in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 19. "If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." See how there's a separation that God has made. And then you go to John 17, from verse 14. Again, Christ is speaking. This time he's praying to the Father. "I have given them," that's his chosen ones, "thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In the world, but not of it." James writes about this in chapter 4 of his epistle, "Friendship with the world is enmity with God." How can you be a worshipper of the Lord and being among his enemies, doing the things that God is against? Can two walk together except they be agreed? "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That's what Ephesians 5 verse 11 says. And I think that there's an application not only to worldly associates compromising in our position, but wicked assemblies. Satan tries to make his people, God's people, compromise their position with wicked assemblies. Interestingly, the compromise that Pharaoh suggested here referred to the place where Israel would worship God. There was an actual place that he talked about where they would sacrifice unto the Lord. And I'm afraid that the devil has some people believing that they can serve God, for example, in an apostate church. There are folks who think that they can do that. And they think they've got opportunities to be of good to people and to serve the Lord in there. And their idea is that God is saying to them, stay in among them. Whereas what God actually says is, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Instead of coming out to worship God in freedom and separation, some stay inside the system. They're in the land, so to speak. Now, what did God command Israel to do? Get out of Egypt and to go deep into the wilderness. It was complete separation that God demanded. Now, I want you to notice what Moses said in answer to this suggested compromise. Exodus chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. "It is not meet so to do." No, we can't do that. "For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us?" See, the religion of God's people, the religion of Jehovah, was an abomination to the Egyptians. And so he says in verse 27, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. In other words, we're going to be going in for complete and total separation. We're not staying in the land. We're not going to be offering the lamb, which is an abomination to the Egyptians, in the land. We're going to come out. Interestingly, when you go back to Genesis 46, you find out what the Egyptians actually thought of the sacrificial system of Israel. It says at the end of verse 34 of Genesis 46, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Think about that. Every shepherd is an abomination. What do shepherds raise? Sheep, lambs, goats, that they would offer the kids of the flock for sacrifices unto the Lord. And it says that those things were an abomination to the Egyptians. They hated God's way of worship. And there is a hatred in the apostasy today toward the finished work of Christ. There are those who hate preaching about the blood of Christ as the only ground of salvation. There are those who hate the word of God, and they want to present what you might call an all-inclusive message. You don't need to repent of your sins. You can be a Christian and have all kinds of wicked lifestyles. God's word settles the matter for us in everything. And the reason that you don't stay inside to serve God in the midst of apostasy is that God's word says, come out from among them. You know, there are churches that are involved in ongoing dialogue with the Church of Rome, are involved in compromise with Romanism and other isms. And God would say in his word to us, it is not meet so to do. Come out from among them. We can't buy Satan's compromise in this way. There's a second thing though. Satan tries to make us compromise in our practice. If you look again at verse 28 of Exodus 8, he said, only ye shall not go very far away. In other words, remain as close to Egypt as possible when you're worshipping God. And isn't that just the way the devil talks to God's people? Now, if you must be a Christian, all right, but don't be a fanatic about it. Don't be extreme about it. You know, this business of going out to church twice on a Sunday and the prayer meetings, you've got to be kidding me. You can still be a Christian. You don't need to be fanatical about it. And by the way, you can still be like the world. You don't need to be distinct. You don't need to be different. You don't need to present yourself as one who is narrow-minded. Isn't that how the world thinks? And that preacher, he's going far too far when he says that men shouldn't look like women and that women shouldn't look like men. Oh, that's extreme. He's extreme in his views on modesty. He's extreme in his views on music. He's a fanatic. He's going too far. Oh, you don't need to go too far away. And you hear this all the time in your mind. The devil says, you don't need to stick out like a sore thumb. We're not living in the age of the Puritans now. And consequently, many who profess to be Christians live not very far away from the world. They compromise in their practice. And if you think about it, the issue at stake between Pharaoh and Israel was complete separation. It was either partial separation, don't go very far away to worship, or go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. Complete separation. That's the only separation that God knows. And Christians should be very far away. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, Colossians 3 says. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The idea that you can be as close to the world as you can without being in it is foreign to Scripture. You know, there is a certain very outstanding, very prominent Reformed preacher. He calls himself a Reformed Charismatic. He heads up a whole system called Sovereign Grace Churches and Sovereign Grace Ministries, Sovereign Grace Music. And they present themselves as very Calvinistic, and that's the appeal to many. The doctrine is so sound. You know what this guy loves to do, by his own admission? He loves to preach in a dirty old t-shirt and faded jeans with holes. Why? I ask, why? Well, because he's trying to be hip and trendy. Somehow or another, it's pragmatism at work. That's how I judge it. But not only that, this man has listed on his blogs and on various things that he's written his favorite Christian rap artists and hip-hop artists. And he doesn't seem to think that there's any problem with that stuff. We can still present the gospel. You might even be able to rap the Westminster Standards, the catechism. Unbelievable. And I call that being as close to the world as you can be without being in it or trying to. What does the Bible say? Romans 12 verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. A good translation of that would be, don't let the world squeeze you or force you into its mold. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed, that means changed, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. Satan uses this argument, by the way, to compromise in your practice. He uses it with Christians who are convicted of it being in apostate churches. And he'll say to them, well, now, if you have to leave it, leave it. But don't go too far in your separation. Don't be joining those fanatics. Retain your respectability. And so there are folks who will leave a ministry where they don't preach the gospel at all, but they'll go somewhere that never says anything against apostasy or ecumenism. They'll go somewhere where there's what they might call a nice minister. He's nice. He never says anything about anything. He doesn't offend anyone. Oh yes, his church is outside the National Council of Churches. It's outside the World Council of Churches. But it still has fellowship with preachers and churches that are in the World Council of Churches. And to me, and to the Scriptures, I believe that that is a breach of God's way as far as separation is concerned. You know, there are folks I've known who have left the old church, the old apostate church, but they go back on occasions for special services. That's not complete separation. Someone said one time, if you're in an apostate church, you ought to do this. Stand up, shout out, get out, and stay out. Come out from among them and be ye separate. The devil wants us to compromise in our position. He wants us to compromise in our practice. Thirdly, I think he wants us to compromise with our posterity. Turn to Exodus chapter 10, and you'll see there from verse number 8 that Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, now watch this, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. I'm only letting the men go for worship, but I'm not going to allow your families to leave Egypt. And what is the spiritual equivalent of that? Be a Christian if you must, but don't bother your spouse with it. Don't bother your children with it. Don't be bothering your family with it. Just keep it to yourself. Don't be shoving it down the throats of your relatives. Of course, if you have an opportunity to speak for the Lord, you should do so in a proper fashion. But that's not shoving the gospel down anyone's throat. I believe it's being a faithful witness if you do it in the right way. But think about what Joshua said. If you turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse 15, he gave a challenge to God's people in his day, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. See, you're faced with a choice. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Those are the two choices. But those two are bad choices. Here's the choice that I'm making. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Did you notice that? He didn't just say, as for me. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't let the devil keep you from winning your family to Christ. Acts 16:31, the children will know this from Sunday school, from the song that we sing, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And thy house. But how often Christian parents compromise with the world over their children. It used to really sadden me, and I guess irritate me as well, when in a couple of my former churches we would be in the neighborhood and asking families about their children if they would send them to Sunday school. And instead of the parent saying to the child, now, they're going to be coming around at such and such a time and you'll be ready and you'll be going to Sunday school, they would say to that little old kid who was about 3 or 4, would you like to go to Sunday school? No. Okay then. But you know what? You know what I found? When they were going to, say, public school, the parents didn't say in the morning, hey, Johnny, would you like to go to school today? No. Okay. That's fine. Just lie on in bed. Do what you want. That never happened. That never happened. Isn't it funny how it's only when it comes to spiritual things? What would you like to do? Would you like to go to church? No. A little kid like that, what's he going to say? Abraham didn't say to his family, now, if you want to serve the Lord, you can serve him, but if you want to be involved in worship, you can, but if you don't want to, it's okay. No, God said, I know him, but he will command. He will command his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. I let my kid listen to rock music. I let my kid go wherever he wants to go because, you know what, he's going to do it anyway behind my back. Really? Well, others of his peers are doing all those things. So we're just going to let him do that and find out for himself. That's really sensible, isn't it? The kid's found somewhere up an alley shooting up drugs or something and he overdoses accidentally and he's gone. That's really sensible practice. I believe that the Bible teaches that parents have a duty to make their children obey them. Now that doesn't mean you rule with a rod of iron. You must deal with your children in love. But I'm afraid there are parents in the world, and I'm probably speaking to the choir tonight, but they allow their children to do things that they wouldn't think of doing themselves. They'll allow their kids to do what they would never have done. And that's a sin before God. God will hold us responsible for making no effort to get our children out of Egypt. I remember my pastor often saying, I don't believe it's the will of God for us to bring up children so that they might be made fuel for hell. It's not right for us, without a fight, to let Satan have our offspring, but we are to bring them up in the fear, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. Oh, that Christian parents would not leave their little ones in Egypt. But there's one other thing here. Satan tries to get us to compromise with our possessions. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 24, Pharaoh said, when he called Moses, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. Now what's the application of that? When Pharaoh said, Go and serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. It is really that Satan doesn't want us to use our earthly substance for the Lord's service. We have to be extremely careful where we put our money, where we put our finance. Obviously, there's an application to robbing God in tithes and offerings. The Bible talks about that. But we all ought to be giving of our substance to the furtherance of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 16 talks about on the first day of the week, every one of you laying by him in store as God hath prospered him. It talks there about giving unto the Lord. I remember in my first church, there was a lady that used to come quite often to our congregation, but she only came one service. And the other service, she went to a church that was not a gospel preaching church. And I really believe that some of her money was going to that church to support a ministry that was actually detrimental to people, to support a ministry that was actually telling people that they could get to heaven by good works. Now, I don't know why she did that, whether it was because her parents or grandparents belonged to that church or whatever, but they never seemed to understand, these people, that if old granny was still alive, she wouldn't be in that church. Because whenever she went to that church, they preached the gospel. But it's now become a church that's not worthy of the name. It's building the church of the Antichrist. And so there are some, and I think they're true Christians, and they're helping to pay the salaries of ministers who don't even preach the gospel. And that's wrong. Because we're to be stewards of the Lord's money. So we need to be sure what it is that we support, what it is that we help in this life. I think of the words of 2 John verses 10 and 11. And some might consider this to be very strong. But it is strong. And it's God's word. 2 John verses 10 and 11. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. What doctrine is that? The doctrine of Christ. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. You can't be praying God's blessing on him. The Lord's not going to bless him because he's preaching a false message. It says in verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. I don't want to be contaminated by a false gospeler, however nice he might be, personally. But I want you to notice here, just in closing, that Pharaoh's compromises, all of them, were refused by Moses. He didn't buy it. He didn't go along with it. If you look at verse 26 of Exodus 10, Moses' reply to this, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed, was this: our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. You know what a hoof is? It's the part of the beast that's useless. You can't eat the hoof. You can't really do anything with the hoof. Moses said, even the least part of the animal is not getting left behind in Egypt. Not even a hoof. There was going to be a complete separation. You know, when you read in 2 Corinthians 6 about separation, and it's personal separation that is in view, though there's an application to ecclesiastical separation, God says that not only are we not to be going along with the unclean thing, we're not even to touch it. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. So if you're in any doubt about something, then don't touch it. I've used the illustration before of the preacher who leaned over the banister rail upstairs, and he said to the preacher's wife, honey, this white shirt that's hanging in the closet, is it clean or dirty? She said, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. In other words, if you have to ask, then there's a problem. I don't have to ask if my shirts are clean when they're clean. I know they're clean. They smell clean. They look clean. Is it clean or dirty? If it's doubtful, it's dirty. And that's a principle for our lives. That really is. It's a principle. If it's doubtful, if we're in any doubt about something, we better not be doing it. Who are we going to heed? We're going to be listening to the devil's compromises in our lives. And by the way, this is an ongoing thing, day by day in our lives. You know, it's not that Satan comes one time in your life and says, now here are the options, and then he leaves you alone. He didn't even do that with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever he had the temptations by the devil, you know what the Bible says? Then Satan leaveth him for a season. In other words, that wasn't the last time that he came to give the Lord trouble. So the devil's going to be after us. He's going to be on our trail every day that we live in this life. And we need the grace of God to heed the Lord and his word. May God help us to serve him, not inside, but outside Egypt. May the Lord help us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them.